Hey everybody, it's Mike. It's Monday, November 21st, 2022, and I have a couple of topics I wanted to cover with everybody. The first one has to do with a footnote on page 294 of the 2022 version of Memoirs, which is out now, and I will leave a link down below in the description box for those who are interested in the book. But the footnote, which I'll take you through on the next slide, is very interesting because I believe we're getting a clue about Billy's blind eye. And that same footnote on page 294 talks about the brain, and I'll show you this in a moment. And that took me back to an email that I received about a year ago from a person who was very well versed in Egyptian mythology and ritual. And once I started taking a look at what Memoirs was saying, and then going back to that email, I started to try to connect some dots, and it's very, very strange, very bizarre. So I'll take you through my thoughts, and then you can decide for yourself where you want to go with it. With the third topic, I'm going to take you through two very good comments that were left by folks, very observant, and they had to do with the video where Paul McCartney said we're not all that good musically. It's the recent video I just put up. And last but not least, I have a new playlist that I put together for Paul is Dead / Beatles Conspiracy Newbies, and I'll take you through that a little bit. Okay, so with that, let's move to slide number two, and let's talk about the footnote on page 294 of the updated version of Memoirs, the 2022 version. Okay, so this is a screen capture from page 294 of the updated version of Memoirs. And you can see I highlighted a couple of things, and I'll get to that in a moment. But let me read what it says first. Paul's right eyebrow was a real pain in the forehead for me. When I started this act, it was an absurdly big deal to John. He insisted that I not sing without raising my right eyebrow. When lifting up my left eyebrow, he would hassle me about it. Naturally, I was obliged, in light of who I am, and learned to do it. Yet, activating the Eye of Ra, or of Horus, motivated him less than the chance to irritate me. And then what I'll do is, let me just read the footnote directly from the book, because we can see here we have the blurring because of the bend of the page on the image. So, let me put my readers on. Yes, I need readers, folks. I'm at that age. So, here's the footnote. Aleister Crowley's The Book of the Law, channeled from AWAS, along with its corresponding teachings, is the primary basis for the spiritual political framework of the Aeon of Horus in the Age of Aquarius. As with every new era, the soul of Horus would return embodied as a new messiah. Like the Magi following the Star of Bethlehem, Crowley and his magical followers sought the incarnations of Osiris and Horus, who would be born of the right families in the right places on the right dates and with other signs, including in their bodies, such as Paul's high brow. The illuminated were posed to recognize Paul in William as Horus's modern incarnation. With added brain elements, and again I'll get to that in a moment, and other design variations, the Eye of Horus or Ra is the Eye of Providence or All-Seeing Eye. In some traditions, the eye with the rays is a phallic emanation. In masonry, the eye usually has semicircular glory below it or is enclosed with a triangle or pyramid. In Paul, we see both. The semicircular glory below the eye is formed by the semicircular lower eyelashes complete with rays. The pyramid's upper lines are formed by the high bending eyebrow, forming the modern eye of illumination, which also resembles the Eye of Horus mirrored vertically. The Eye of Paul pyramid, joining text lines to footnotes, and what Tom is referring to is this notation here in the book where we have the McCartney eye inside the triangle, was inspired by the Eye of Paul and the Eye of Horus. Now this is important. With the right eye of Bill given to Horus, his left sees what is left. So this sounds to me like validation, confirmation of Sally's discovery that Billy is blind in his right eye. It also goes back to some of the comments I made in my last video, where I was wondering if the right eye, which is representative of Ra, the sun, was sacrificed on behalf of Horus, the moon. And the reason why I say that is because it says, with the right eye of Bil given to Horus, in other words, the eye of Ra given to Horus, Billy sees with his left, or the eye of Horus. Very interesting. And below the text on page 294, there is some very faint font. What it says is, "Let my servants be few and secret. They shall rule the many and the known." And that quote comes from the Book of the Law. So again, as I've mentioned many times in my presentations, the elites are occultists. And their religion or their spiritual philosophy is embedded in the Egyptian mysteries. So I refer to them as Egyptian mystery fundamentalists or Egyptian mystery zealots. And in essence, what they're doing is they are imposing their spiritual belief system, their ideology, upon the masses. Now, I know this sounds like crazy stuff to a lot of people, you know, but all I can say is take a look around and what do you see going on in the world? It's chaos. And in alchemy, you have to create that chaos in order to bring about order. In any case, the takeaway from this page is, again, what I believe is to be confirmation of Billy not having sight in his right eye. And now what I'm going to do is to go to slide number 3. And let's talk about this piece here where they talk about the brain elements. That's going to get even weirder. Okay, so on slide number 3, the left-hand side of the chart is information that is sourced from memoirs. And the right-hand side is information sourced from the email that was sent to me about a year ago from a person who was very well versed in Egyptian mythology and ritual. Now, from page 294, the footnote, which I mentioned in the previous slide, with added brain elements and other design variations, the eye of Horus or Ra is the eye of providence or all-seeing eye. Now, before I get to the narrative that I'm showing here from page 562, let me read from pages 560 and 561 to give you the backdrop. So the Beatles are participating in a meditation that is being led by Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones. Every now and then, a few of us gathered for group Paul meditations. Usually, we each drew near that state of Paul connectivity in our own individual way. From time to time, we would all chant or hum in unison, or would repeat a mantra or do a guided meditation. One time, Brian Jones led us in a meditation based on a pharaoh succession ritual that included refreshments, which he concealed in a trash bag. Let me put my glasses on here so I'm not struggling to read. With senses heightened by pot, we could all smell the sweet, freshly baked wheat bread that lingered on, making it hard to focus on Paul for the spell. Now notice they use the word spell. Once I could concentrate, and this is Billy talking about himself, the trip of visualization amazed me. In our minds, we followed along as we came along a long path reddened with blood drops. We followed the drops into a dark, wooded forest, going in deeper and darker until we walked beyond the drops. We continued walking through the darkness until the trees parted, letting in light. In the clearing sat a large, latched sea trunk rested at the top of a large hill. As we reached the trunk, we slowly unlatch it, open the lid, and behold a mangled corpse with an upside-down, disconnected skull. Reaching into it, we pulled out Paul's sticky, blood-matted head, or what was left of it. Much of it had been smashed away. We take turns holding it, reflecting respectively, and passing it carefully to the next person until it was placed aside. As the meditation continued, we imagined that we saw some cranberries growing wild by a mild stream. We uproot a seedling, carry it back to the skull, and gently replant it in a sunken eye socket. We place the skull in a hole, pack dirt around it, and pour water over the top. We silently watch the plant grow and receive strength to produce cranberries. And then I'll read from the slide. "Okay," Brian said. "Take, eat, partake of Paul. This is his communion." From a bag, he pulled delicious bread and cranberry sauce. He broke off the loaf's end, buttered it, and spread the sauce. Upon taking a bite, he passed it on, saying, "Paul's brains nourished the roots that carried his best elements on up to the berries, which were smeared on this warm bread. Through the berries, we are all now partakers of his brains. Now he is in all of us. We are all made one in Paul." This night was in celebration of the release of our single, My Penny Lane, and John's Strawberry Fields Forever in 1967. Our desired communion with Paul also united us all with each other. We all came together over Paul. I know, folks, this is extremely weird, bizarre, and disturbing. And I can also see the similarities to Catholicism and the ritual of communion. Eat of my body, drink of my blood. Okay, so let's now move to the right-hand side of the slide. And the top box did not come from the email, but I put it in here as background so that the email would make more sense. The ancient Egyptians believed the soul had three parts, the ka, the ba, and the ak. The ka was essentially a person's double. It was the life force, and at death, it was separated from the body. The reason for extensive and elaborate preparation for the body for the afterlife was to ensure the ka had a home. The living would sometimes provide bread, bear, oxen, and fowl to feed the ka for the afterlife. They also believed the deceased's body would have to resemble the past living body as much as possible so the ka could recognize the body, and then the ba would return to it each night after spending time in the sunshine. Okay, so that's a little backdrop, and now let me read what this person wrote me. Again, this goes back about a year ago. The ancient Egyptian ka is the life force or spiritual double of the person. The royal ka was passed from one pharaoh to the next in a rite of esoteric cannibalism, what we know in our modern time as the symbolic rite of apostolic succession. This satanic primordial version of the rite gave the pharaoh the right to rule. And then my source goes on to ask this question. Does Billy believe he contains the ka of the dead Paul? Did Billy consume the occultum of Harlequin, the residuum of paradise, the glitter of the sleepers, the dream of the dreamless? All code for the brains of the deceased pharaoh. In Aleister Crowley's book, Atlantis, The Lost Continent, he talks about these primordial rituals of esoteric cannibalism. The word for it in general, and I'm probably not going to pronounce this correctly, so bear with me, is Ijynx, I-J-Y-N-X. And he states that, quote, the word for magic, Ijynx, was the only dissyllable in the language, for magic was essentially a twofold thing, more twofold, in a way, than the number two itself. And then the person who wrote the email explains that he, Crowley, is talking of the preparation of the antinomy. And antinomy refers to something being paradoxical, of the oldest dynasties of ancient Chem. So that's the email. It came in about a year ago. And when I first received it, I had maybe four or five correspondences with this person. I was trying to get my head wrapped around it. And so what I did was I just stored it away, figuring at some point it might tie into something. And I got to that point. So we have this narrative in Memoirs, which actually starts on page 560 and runs through page 562, talking about Paul's brains and being in communion with Paul, and then going to the footnote on page 294. And I don't recall this footnote being in prior editions of Memoirs, so I believe this is new. Now, this passage on page 560 through 562 is in the previous version of Memoirs. And I think, I'm trying to remember because it was about a year ago, it may have been the catalyst which generated this email to me. And so as I was going through the footnotes a day or two ago, and I read this new ad about brain elements, that brought me back to this email, because you don't forget emails like this, which then reminded me of this passage on page 562. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that Billy ate biological Paul's brains, okay? I want to make that clear. But what I do think is going on is Billy participated in a reenactment of an ancient Egyptian ritual. That's what I think is going on. Okay? And again, I know, folks, this is very difficult to get your arms around. All I'm doing is doing the research and trying to connect dots. So with that, let's talk about the two comments I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. Okay, so two great comments came in, one from my BitChute channel from Boudica59 and the other one from my Polisted YouTube channel from Clara. Boudica59 asked the question, Mike, I thought McCartney was speaking of George Harrison when he said George played what he was directed to, not George Martin. Maybe I missed something. So let's play that right now and let's take another listen.
I guess he gives you some ideas when you're recording your songs. Do you give him any ideas on his recordings of your
Sometimes
songs?
We go along to the sessions, you know. B gives us more ideas than we give him, I think. Because he's at all of our sessions and we're not at all of his.
Now, the reason why I thought that Paul was talking about George Martin is because the BBC interviewer is asking him about their relationship with George Martin. So I put it within that context. But again, as we listen, I do think he was talking about George Harrison.
In fact, I think I've been to one.
Did you get any particular interest out of the bigger lineup that was available to him?
Oh, yes, yeah. It's the main trouble with having big lineups and things is you use session men, and session men are all great technically, but you've got to write exactly what you want out on paper for session men. And so it's easier with us, because you can sort of say to George, no, not that, a bit more like so-and-so, and, you know, and he'd do it, you know what you meant. But if you said to a session man, no, you know, do it a bit like sort of, you know, well, then he'd need it written down. So that's the only big trouble, really.
Okay, so my response back to Boudica 59, I went back and listened, and it is possible McCartney was talking about George Harrison during that part of the interview. And if it is George Harrison he is talking about, then we need to go back to the Philip Norman clip where Philip tells us George Martin was dictating notes to George Harrison and instructing him on what to play on the guitar. So whether it's George Martin or George Harrison that McCartney is discussing, the story does not hold up. So let's go to the Philip Norman interview and take a listen to that once again.
As soon as Harrison took the sitar into the studio, he became important, because up to that point, George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, was terrible to him. He used to say, you will play these notes.
George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, was terrible to him. He used to say, you will play these notes.
Here they are on the piano. You will play this.
So that's why I said that whether it's George Martin or George Harrison that Paul is discussing, the story does not hold up. On one hand, we have McCartney telling us that they would just tell George what to play and he would just do it. And then we have Philip Norman, who, by the way, is a renowned Beatles author, telling us that George Martin was dictating to George Harrison what to play on the guitar. So, which is it? And for those of you that follow my work, you know that my position is that they didn't write the songs between 1962 and 1966. Those songs were written by ghostwriters, and studio players laid down the recorded tracks for both their albums and their singles. So this whole dialogue, whether Paul's talking about George Martin or George Harrison, is a story. That's all it is, because they did not write all their own music, especially when we're talking about the period between 1962 and 1966. Okay, so with that, let's move to the second comment, and it's a great observation by Clara. And what she said is, yesterday is supposedly Paul's monster solo hit recording, but he makes a few astonishing admissions in this interview. He says the idea for yesterday of doing it like that, meaning with the string arrangements, was because we're limited as a group. So we did it, the song yesterday, like that. We didn't have to play. And then she says, Mike, you asked, did you catch that? Well, did anyone catch this? Paul said, we didn't have to play. Whereas the official story presented to the public then and now is that it was Paul singing the lead vocal and playing acoustic guitar to George Martin's string arrangement. And by Paul saying, we didn't play, then the obvious question becomes, who played the acoustic guitar on yesterday? So let's take a listen to this bit.
I have since then recorded some more with an unusual instrumentation in the backing. Was this inspired by the success of yesterday, or did you do it because you liked it?
Well, the idea for yesterday of doing it like that was because we're limited as a group. You know, we're the first to say that we're not all that good anyway, musically. So there was something like yesterday. The best we could have done with it would have been This Boy or If I Fell. You know, those are sort of, I think, two of the best that we've done like that with a group and still managed to put the song over in the way it should have been. But with yesterday, it would have just meant either another If I Fell or another This Boy, you know, another Beatles combo doing a slow one, you know. So we did it like that, and nobody seemed to mind, least of all us, I think, you know, because we didn't have to play, we didn't have to show ourselves up again.
So at the end, he admits, we didn't have to play, and we didn't have to show ourselves up. So, excellent catch, Clara. I should have caught it, and I missed it, but that's the beautiful part about having some very, very bright and observant people in the comments section. Okay, with that, let's move to the last slide, and let's talk a little bit about my new playlist for PID newbies. Okay, so this is the last slide, and I created a new playlist. It's Paul is Dead or the Beatles Conspiracy for Newbies. And over the last 4 months or so, I've had a few hundred new subscribers. I'm up to 14,700. I'm hoping I can get that to 15,000 soon. So just keep pumping out some work and hopefully it will catch the attention of folks and they will subscribe. Oh, by the way, if you do watch the content, make sure you do subscribe. A lot of times I see folks comment and say, oh, Mike, I've been following your work for a number of years, but I don't see the subscription icon next to their name. So if you do that, it would be very helpful. But in any case, going back about, a year and a half to 2 years ago, I created a separate channel called Mike Williams's Best of Paul is Dead. And what I did was I took the best of my presentations and my interviews and I put it on that channel. And I numbered it by episode. So this way you can start with episode number one and you can step your way through. It's a progression so that you can get yourself acclimated and understand what the conspiracy is all about. So I did a similar thing here by creating a playlist on this channel here, my Paul is Dead channel, my main Paul is Dead channel. And it's a playlist for newbies. And I'll put the link down below so that anybody who comes here and is watching this and wants to learn more can hit that playlist and you can step through the various interviews and presentations that I've included in the playlist. And right now I have 18 videos. Okay, so just want to make everybody aware of that. Also, in the last video, I talked about the comments policy. There were a couple of people that absolutely lost their minds over it. These are people that believe the Cinderella story. And they just didn't like me saying that, look, comments that are going to try to defend the official narrative, which is essentially a lie. If you're going to defend a lie with a lie, then it's still a lie. And people just lose their shit over that. And there was a couple of comments that came in and these people were beside themselves and they ended up getting themselves blocked from the channel. What I don't understand is if something bothers you so much and irritates you to the point where you go home and you want to take a swing at your wife and kick the dog, why are you listening to that stuff? If my work bothers you so much and irritates you so much, why do you listen to it? There's lots of stuff out there that I have no interest in listening to. Do I go there and torture myself? No, I don't. I just don't listen to it. I push it out of my circle of things to do. And I highly recommend that if my work and what I'm doing here, or the work of any other Paul is Dead researcher or somebody looking into the Beatles conspiracy, if it gets under your skin and you just can't take it and you're going to blow a fuse or pop a blood vessel, then don't come here. Really, you know, for your own mental, emotional, and physical health, spend your time someplace else. This channel, as I mentioned in my previous video when I talked about the comments policy, caters to critical thinkers. Not people that want to stay submerged in the murky waters of the Matrix, that are perfectly happy living in the virtual reality, just taking in all the stuff that is pumped out to you in your living room through your television set. This channel is not for people that cannot or will not think outside the box. And that's okay. There's a channel for everybody. And this channel, if you are into the mainstream stuff, is not where you should spend your time. Okay? And seriously, folks, I've gotten to the point where I am no longer going to entertain comments that come in and talk about the official narrative. I don't have the patience or the time for it. So I'm going to focus my attention on those people that are critically thinking. Okay? And if you don't like my message, I don't know what to tell you. It's my channel. It's my research. You know, it's the way it goes. If you don't like it, go someplace else. It's as simple as that. You do not have to be here. That's why when you play a video, not only do you have the ability to start the video, but you also have the ability to stop the video and then click and go elsewhere. All right? And so with that, folks, thank you so much for taking a listen. The comment section is open. You guys and gals have a great day, and we will talk soon.